Who do you say that Jesus is? He asks the apostles, and therefore in this morning's Mass, he asks each of us. And the answer that each of us gives to that question determines whether or not we truly have that divine gift of faith. For throughout history, people have attempted to answer this question. And they've answered that question in various ways. Today, it is very popular for people to simply make something up. To make of Jesus whoever they want him to be, whatever occurs to them, whatever is convenient, whatever they feel is believable. But this cannot be. He is not a figment of our imagination. He is a real person. And he is who he says he is. I think C.S. Lewis put it very, very well when he wrote that a man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said wouldn't be a great moral teacher. He'd either be a lunatic on a level with a man who said he's a poached egg, or else he'd be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman, or something worse. But don't let us come up with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He hasn't left that open to us. He didn't intend to. And so from that we have, you can get the little very easy to remember statement that Christ is either a liar or a lunatic or he is Lord. And certainly that is the profession of faith which St. Peter makes to Jesus. When our Lord asks Peter and the other apostles, who do people say that the Son of Man is? He is not asking them because he doesn't know who he is. He's not confused about his own identity. But he is revealing that it will be upon a man that, and that man's faith, that his church will rest. And so we see through the grace of God that St. Peter rises brilliantly and he answers, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. It is the gift of God that was given to Peter. But it is the same gift which is given to each and every one of us who has that divine faith. To be able to recognize Christ for who he is. It must be a gift from God. But we also must accept that gift and rise to the occasion. No authentic Christian has the license to recreate Christ according to their own personal tastes or preferences. Yet isn't that exactly what the temptation is of so many people who claim to be Christian? When Christ's laws on marriage, the sacredness of human life, the dignity of the family, when these laws that are given to us by God are either changed or overturned, then it is Christ's own divine identity that is being challenged and rejected. We cannot recreate him. We cannot pretend that he's something other than what he is. And so it is so good that he has given us his church. It is so good that he has built his church upon a human person. And so we want to remember that while Christ certainly is the head of the church, and he's very clear in this gospel, he says, my church. I will build my church. Yet nevertheless, he is building it upon the rock of faith of St. Peter. And therefore, that office of St. Peter becomes so very important. We speak about that office. We see it in the Old Testament reading, where the one who has the keys, the office of being second in command, is being changed. For the one who had been second in command in the first reading has sinned and fallen away. And so God says, you are no longer going to be my second command, but that office continues. And so I will find another to replace you. And so it is with our church that it's not the individual pope who is so important, but rather that office of successor to Peter that becomes so important. For it is that office of leading the church, guiding the church, of doing what Jesus said, of guiding the church into all truth and confirming the brethren, which is so very important. We want to remember that Christ has promised that He will guide the Pope, that He will guide the church into all truth. He says, I will not leave you orphans, but I will guide you into all truth. And He has given it to Peter, to that mission, to keep the faith safe from every lapse and to have the grace to strengthen others in the faith. And so also we see with that same gift comes that strength. St. Peter is also vested with power and authority. The power and authority which is mentioned in today's gospel to forgive sins, because our Lord knows that the rest of us are going to fall away, are going to sin. And so He tells him, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. How good it is that we who know our own sinfulness, or at least many of us would admit to our own sinfulness. Of course, today we also live in a society where people have so recreated God, they deny that they have sins themselves. But for the rest of us who realize our sinfulness, how good that we can go to that sacrament of confession, that we can receive through the church the forgiveness of our sins, so that they can be forgiven here on earth, so that when we face God as our judge, they will continue to be forgiven from us in heaven. Jesus Christ has given Peter to the apostles, and He continues to give that office of Peter, the Pope, to all of us. And so we should give thanks today for that guidance, for that action of God in the lives of so many others. For it is precisely the revelation of Jesus that we have this. That Jesus has, as we heard, in kind of echoed by St. Paul in the second reading, made this irrevocable and unchangeable creation of His church. And He has built it upon the rock of faith of St. Peter, that He is continuing to build it up with little stones, you and I. And therefore, we who claim the title Christian must allow Christ to build us up into His church and accept the guidance and accept the teaching of the church, accept the revelation of who Christ is and all that He teaches. Because that faith, that church, truly is the gift of God. It is divine. It is not ours, but it is His. And we rejoice to receive it.